Siren Radio.
And now an awesomely wonderful time, because just as we launched the first hour of the programme with the weather for Lincoln from Gibraltar with Gabriella Peralta, we now actually welcome back the awesomely talented Emma Tinson to deliver the weather for Lincoln from Surrey.
Hello, how are you?
Excellent, Emma. Excellent. In fact, I'm just getting your idents and jingles sorted through, because I believe that neither the awesome Dr. Chris Dowes nor indeed Shelley McKenzie have ever encountered the sensational notion that is English graduate, journalism graduate extraordinaire Emma Tinson before. So no pressure, but you know the build-up has been phenomenal on this one.
So I just can't wait.
Exactly. So take it away, please, Miss Tinson. That would be the weather, please. The weather, you can now reveal the weather. Off you go.
Well, it's going to be a lovely day, it seems, today. We're going to have highs of 11 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees. It's going to be a dry day with sunshine and a moderate westerly breeze.
To many people, the letters ET signify phoning home, early Drew Barrymore, or cycling over the moon. For midweek drive aficionados, ET will always be the Surrey legend that is Emma Tinson.
Yeah, there we are. So back in full force. And Emma, what have you been doing since graduating a whole year and a half ago or whatever?
Gosh, it's been a long time, hasn't it? Well, I've been a busy bee, really. I've been doing all sorts. But I started a new job back in December now. So I'm now reporting the traffic on the radio, which is a great job. It's really fun, very, very stressful, very odd and unusual, but I really enjoy it, so it's great.
It's what the legendary outside broadcaster wave for. I just actually pulled up the time we actually headed off to Manchester together, and you were doing interviews with Ed Fortune. And that indeed, Chris, is Emma Tinson. She's actually not the stormtrooper, just
really?
In case you.
She looks a little short for a stormtrooper, I have to say.
Nice line. Good
Thank
reference
you very much.
There.
But yeah, can I just say, when do I get a fantastic sting like that, or don't I?
Wait, Chris, the time will help.
Oh, what? Two and a half? I go, what? Wait, how long? 2 years? 3 years? How old have I got to be?
Emma,
oh, my goodness.
We will work on Chris Dowes' line. Chris,
I'm still waiting for mine.
How long
get
have you been
in line,
here?
Sister.
You're kidding me. That's no good. Sting jealousy.
You see the way the troops are rebelling, Emma. I mean, these days you wouldn't have had anything like that from that point of view.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it all depends on the availability of Phil Lewis to...
That's very true.
Oh, hunting down.
Anyway, as Emma with Spike and all sorts of other sort of areas, there are station mascot at the Fab Cafe. Have you actually been over to the Manchester or awesome enterprises of Starburst?
I have not. And
never
I've
been
to
the Fab Cafe.
I've got the first 100 issues of Starburst. I've got the whole. I mean. In
well,
pretty poor copy because I used to read them.
Some of the delights that come through, including the current editor of Starburst magazine.
That's the editor. He looks like the master.
He does indeed.
Dapper, yeah.
Sinister.
Yeah, Mike Jordan.
Dandy.
Jordan, Mike Joyce, Mike Rice, etc. I think he's looking very much in the sort of world domineering.
Sort of a bit sinister, that, yeah. Steady.
Nice three piece.
Very nice.
Very good. If people are wondering what on earth are we talking about, images.
Looking at pictures.
Yeah, exactly. You can look at the Facebook side for Southside Broadcasting and all will be there. Emma, you caught part of the hind end of the first hour. Have you got any questions to put about Chris's genre credentials? We haven't even mentioned his monthly column in Star Trek magazine, and indeed a whole heap of other goodies. So where would you like to take the discussion, please, Emma Tinson?
Well, Chris, it sounds like you're a massive nerd, much like myself.
It's kind of
well
you to point out. Thank you.
So if you're really into your sci-fi stuff, what's your favourite kind of movie franchise in science fiction?
Oh, well, I would have to say the Star Wars franchise, because that's what I grew up with. I mean, I'm that old that I was there queuing up for the original Star Wars and saw it like, I don't know, N, where N equals a very large number of times. It's got to be the Star Wars franchise, really, and that's why I'm so pleased that it's back on track, as far as I'm concerned.
And Luke Skywalker is in Gibraltar.
He's been in Gibraltar. He's got an extraordinary beard.
Yeah, Skywalker. I mean,
oh, my goodness, I've only just realised Skywalker and Skywalker.
Oh, you're kidding me. You've only just got that.
How did I not get this?
How did you not get that?
I hadn't had my coffee in my defence.
That's why Shaylee 2-1 Emma first class honours. You know,
is that how it works?
So rude.
That was, That was really cruel.
Okay, Alex. Yeah.
Don't worry, Shaylee. You're progressing. You're
door
progressing.
Slams in
you're
the background.
Working
there we
through
go.
The process.
You're never going to get a sting now.
Yeah. She will. It's actually being written as I speak. It's just taking time. You know, I need to sort of the muse move me in many ways, shapes, or form. And so, Emma, we haven't had a chance to really talk with you since. Well, I think it has since the phone actually needed to be replaced, which was.
I know. Yeah. It was disastrous.
You know, we had final year English students here and journalism students, and I mean Tessa Snart was almost beside herself. She just said, Emma doesn't want to talk to us anymore. You just,
the rejection would be cutting.
And Tessa had always seen Emma very much as a role model, I think.
Really?
I mean, she's not here now, but you know, Tessa is always sort of saying, oh, yeah, Emma, I'll go with that. But still, apart from that, phone has been fixed. So how have you been following the recent Black Panther, the recent Thor Ragnarok, where we meet before Christmas time, and, of course, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, which, as Richard Fitzwilliams, and you've worked with Richard before, we've actually done pieces at the National Portrait Gallery with Richard before, pull up those in due course, you know that Richard has his interesting views, does he not, Emma?
Yeah, well, I mean, Richard is very much more into his high-class films, so I'll let him off if he wasn't a fan of the geeky stuff. But I really enjoyed Black Panther. I thought it was brilliant. It was action-packed, which was great. And I've been so nerdy recently that I've actually rewatched all of the Marvel franchise.
Excellent.
In preparation for Infinity War. So that's been pretty interesting, watching them all back. Now, as for Lara Croft, I thought it was really great to have some girl power action. Not entirely believable, but then again, never the games weren't either. So, yeah, I thought that was a bit of fun as well.
There, upon our eyes, in a kind of virtual sense, is Emma with Sarah Huntley, Ed Wellman, and indeed the Fitzwilliams Meister at the National Portrait Gallery.
Excellent. Richard's really tall, a lot taller than I thought he was going to be.
Why does he sound short? Is that what you're trying to say?
You know when you just envisage somebody in your head after speaking to them for over a year, and then you see a picture of them and you're like, you are nothing like I imagined.
You sounded short.
Emma, when you first met Richard Fitzwilliams, did you sort of, were you tempted to say, Richard, indeed, to quote Chris Towers, you sound far shorter in person.
How's that work?
You know, I didn't. That wasn't the first thing that sprung to mind, to be honest.
No, it's okay. Okay, we can go with that. That's fine. Well, I think it's fair to say that Richard was pretty positive about Lara Croft.
He was.
Tomb Raider.
He was, surprisingly so.
Than we thought.
Black Panther, he thought, was the best movie of the year. I think it really sort of raised.
Apparently it's received some criticism for the rhetoric of the kind of thing like return to Africa. Which I didn't really read into but apparently
unfair.
A few people have.
Well, if you
been,
focus
like,
on certain aspects
it.
And dig deep enough, you'll be able to come up with something negative.
That's true.
Anyway, it's a par for the course of that. And we've got to ask Emma, are you getting into the current incarnations of Jessica Jones? Because I know you're a big Jessica Jones fan when you were actually here. And, of course, the whole Netflix Defenders, Luke Cage, etc. system.
Yeah, well, you know, I love those shows. They're really great. To have, like, Marvel superheroes on the small screen, I think that's brilliant for all us nerdy people out here. I'm actually a little bit behind schedule at the moment. I'm still watching The Punisher.
So I need
to finish that before I get into Jessica Jones Series 2, so I'm a bit behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. I've left The Punisher a little bit and gone on to Jessica Jones Season 2. I'd rebel on
The Punisher.
See, that's
really
cheating.
Yeah, Alex does what he likes. He makes his own rules. You know that.
I did go through the whole process of Daredevil Season 1, Season 2, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and then The Defenders. Mm. I worked through that.
I'm not going to lie, I gave up on Daredevil Season 2. I didn't watch
really?
It.
Yeah. I gave up on Luke Cage.
Oh, no, I like Luke Cage.
Contention. Oh, my goodness. It's 11 minutes past 9, folks, and the first contentious thing of the day.
Nice time check there.
There we go.
So, moving on, how can people hear your dulcet tones other than when you return, which we need to make it another regular thing, on Siren Radio? Emma, do you actually do on-air stuff, which are the radio stations that we should be sort of tuning in on and basically set letter-writing campaigns to say, Emma Tennyson, there's the traffic here, we need to focus on her?
I do. Well, I'm actually on lots of different radio stations. Mm-hmm. So I cover the afternoons and rush hours on BBC Three Counties Radio, BBC Cambridgeshire, LBC London News, and a variety of others as well.
So that's not bad going, is it?
Listen out.
Only the very best for Midrick drivers.
So when you're stuck on the A14, then in the afternoon you'll be listening. That's fantastic.
Exactly. Emma does that traffic and travel scenario.
Wait, you're right. You're not going anywhere. That's the traffic around there, pretty much.
And BBC Cambridge show on my stumping grounds as well. I've forgotten all that maybe back in the day, but BBC Cambridge show we looked at with Cambridge University Radio, and that special reveal was the beginning of the foundings of what we see now in Siren Radio.
That's astonishing.
Aww.
That's where cool. It came from. That's where it originated.
Historical
from.
And
those
education.
Ideas. Well, you know, it's a way forward. Emma, any questions you'd like to put to Shaylee, who graduated last year superbly well and indeed came to us in the same way, arguably, as Claire Margerison did, because a final year student hadn't encountered me at all before. Oh, Shaylee, had you encountered me in the first year lecture? I give the one first year lecture about H.G. Wells. No, it was Blade Runner. That's right. Yes,
Blade Runner.
The time
yeah.
Catherine Redpath was kind enough to actually offer me.
Who's this weirdo?
Yeah. Anyway, there we are. And she's still
no
doing
respect,
some
absolutely not.
it's after you
said
it.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
That's very good. Very
not
splendid. Marvellous. Exactly. So, Emma, have you got any questions for either Shaylee or indeed Chris, who is, again, a recent recruit because, Chris, you weren't even part of the university. You were just a name I'd read in Star Trek magazine.
Yeah, started last September, and I've loved every minute of it.
Questions for yourself, please, Emma.
Yes, well, Shaylee, how are you finding postgraduate life? Because I found when I first left uni, I sort of didn't know what to do with myself. So how are you finding it?
100% agree. We call it post-uni depression. It's
PUD.
Yeah, basically. You just kind of feel a bit lost, and the jobs that you've been applying for... English is a very generic degree, and English was probably the only subject that I was good at school, so hence English degree. But nobody wants to hire people with English degrees, which is bizarre to me.
Just wait, don't be in a rush, you'll be fine.
I
don't think it's just English degrees, to be honest. I think it's just across the board. There is a problem with recruitment at the moment, so I wouldn't get your heart down. No. It does just take a while. I mean, I worked initially for a marketing company, and I'm not at all interested in marketing, but I did that for 6 months just to build up some experience, really. So don't get yourself down. It happens to everyone, but it will get better eventually, I promise.
Good. Thank you, yeah, Auntie
very
Emma.
Very positive. Ask Emma.
Precisely, and she'll give you an answer.
Absolutely. Honest and forthright and accurate,
She had me across the years, basically, from level one, yeah. Level two, level three. In fact, her dissertation, would you like to share it with the assembled Emma? It's still sort of talked about in hushed tones even today. Your dissertation was on?
It was on science fiction fans and whether they were spoilers or trailers.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Spoilers or trailers, where do you sit when it comes to the science fiction community and world with respect to that?
Trial, not spoil.
All very important. Emma, there's heaps of other stuff we can actually go on to talk about, but we also have another returning soul in a few moments. That would be William Sitwell. He's back with us as well.
Lovely.
Exactly. Yeah, William, the man who actually went global and national with respect to Siren Radio, with respect to Pippa Middleton, and indeed it was the first time that the show itself and Siren Radio, the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, actually got mentioned in the Daily Express. I know.
And so, it should. Regularly.
Well, so it goes. So William will be back with us in a few moments. Emma, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your return to the Midweek Drive?
I have, of course. I always do.
We didn't speak about, of course, your television stuff and your TV reviews and your movie reviews, etc. Are you still doing those things? Can people access the channel in Surrey that you're working with?
I am indeed, yes. So I work for a company called videoblog.com. That's with two G's at the end. And I do all sorts of nerdy film reviews and things like that. So you can check me out on there.
Videoblog, two G's,
.com. Video blogs,
very important. So will you be back with us again in the very near future? And I'm possibly thinking next week here, Emma. Are you back and ready to actually join us again?
Yes, I would love to.
Yay! Thank you.
wasting time. I can tell. Hanging on to hell as well. You might find someone else. We have always sold ourselves. Where is the love I've lost? Mercy and trust. Where is the love I've lost? Where is the mercy and trust? Lay engaged, see a flame. I might find someone else. Love is always second best. Where is the love I've lost? Where is the mercy and trust?
Steve Jones, Mercy, quite right too. Chris, it looks as though, sadly, you're going to have to leave us in a few seconds.
I'm afraid so. I've got to go and do stuff.
Exactly. It's all right. Give our very best to Catherine Redpath. It's far too long since she was actually on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. In fact,
I'll drop that colossal hint then.
She was doing the trauma conference with colleagues John. I was going to say John Hudson there. John Hudson's still with us. Another fine John there who was a part of the trauma studies conference. Wow. That was actually when I think she was last on. Maybe it was too much of a trauma. That's why she's never returned.
Well, maybe so.
Different line. Anyway, it'll all be splendid. That's the important thing. Will you be back with us next week on Maundy Thursday, Chris?
I'm afraid I won't. I'm going to be looking after my children.
Well, there you are, you see. Easter vacation approaches and you'll be doing marvellous things over there. So is it after Easter then you return?
It is.
That's okay. We need to speak about things like flash fiction competitions, things like Twilight Zone anniversaries, all manner of wonderful things which will be coming through as far as that's concerned. It's been a delight. Don't forget, Chris, you can always participate via Skype or indeed the online service.
Is that so?
That might be an interesting wrinkle. A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, very good.
Now there's a whole new movie for a whole new ideology.
There we go.
somebody's after me. I can't pretend to be something I know I'm not. And when they come for me, I'll just let them be. 'Cause all that I need today is all I need. I just don't wanna be thinking thoughts that I think, dreaming my dreams I'm drifting within. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. Come on, look within. Someone will always be more than I'll ever be, so then I'll be myself. And when they come for me, I'll just let them be. 'Cause all that I need today, I need today. I just don't wanna be thinking thoughts that I think, dreaming my dreams I'm drifting within. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I've been. Come on, live your dreams.
And after having been prompted certainly by a conscience, by Katie Grimerson in Birmingham, by indeed Ben in the wonderful world of Crewe, where he's actually working for Bentley Motors, where the line has been, when's William Sitwell coming back to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition? And it was actually the demise of the late, great Jim Bowen that said, we've got to bring him back. We've got to, it's just fun. William Sitwell, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Good morning. I'm so glad you saw that. That was, I don't normally write about chat shows and game shows, but I was a huge fan of Jim Bowen, so that's one of the pieces I'm most proud of writing in recent weeks.
That's really good, and I hadn't realised, of course, you wrote to Central Television asking if you could be a contestant, of course, on Bullseye. It clearly kind of had a major influence on the young William Sitwell and your brother, of course.
Yeah, well, me and Dom West, is an old friend of mine, he's an actor, we used to watch it, and we thought it would be quite fun if we were contestants. So we wrote in, and very foolishly, they declined our offer of appearing on the show.
Fair loss. It's at the end of the motor on that basis. Our quick introduction, Shaylee McKenzie, graduate in English at the University of Lincoln, now doing all sorts of marvellous things there. And I don't think, Shaylee, you've had the awesomeness of encountering William Sitwell before, have you?
No, hi, William. No, exactly. How are you today?
I'm fine. How is the awesomeness going?
It's going very awesome.
But the question I'll put to you, Shaylee, is do you know what a gastropub is?
A gastropub?
Mm-hmm. Not gastropod, gastropub. easily confused. We'll find out in a matter of seconds, because I'll say William Sitwell. What's a gastropub? Pub? Pod? Oh, Lord.
Well, it's interesting. I see you asked that question, because I was presenting the Estrella Damm Gastropub of the Year Awards a few weeks back in York, and it's quite an interesting list. I'm sure you can get it up on your screen. And
Estrella,
you
know, is in the beer, sorry.
As in the beer, they're just the sponsor. We don't have to get weighed down with that. But the more we mention it, the more likely it is they may send me a case of free beer.
Oh, well, feel free. Exactly.
But it's quite a hotly contested competition these days, and a lot of Britain's culinary talent is turning up on that list. The question is, you know, there are chefs who are opening pubs, and lots of people, lots of talent is going into that area. They don't necessarily like being called gastropub because it sort of sounds a bit poncy. So there are chefs in London who are opening pubs who like to think of them as pubs with dining rooms. But if you look at who's at the top of that list, you see Stephen Harris, who is this fantastic guy. He used to work in the City of London, and he quit the city and went down to Whitstable and opened up this grubby boozer called The Sportsman, that's now definitely one of the best pubs in the country. He forages the local beaches for seaweed, and he cooks sole with that, and he does wonderful lamb dishes, and he's an amazing chef. And there are some really interesting up-and-coming people, and there's a pub in Windsor called the Oxford Blue that I'm a big fan of, where there are these young boys who quit one of Ramsay's restaurants, and they've gone and set up their own place. And so, you know, I think that if you're looking for somewhere really good to eat at, and you don't want to waste your money, you don't want to take a risk, then this list is quite a good reference, and there's plenty of spread around the country, so it's worth having a look at. I'm not sure if the great village that you're broadcasting from has many gastropubs,
We've got, as you rightly said, The Sportsman, number one, Whitstable in Kent. Second place went to the Pony and Trap at the Chew Magna in Bristol. The Harem in York with the Star Inn was in third place. Freemasons at Wiswell, Clitheroe, Lancashire. And the Coach from Marlow in Buckinghamshire also came into survival. In the top 10, we also had Islington, Maidenhead, the Parker's Arms near Clitheroe in Lancashire, the Marksman in Hackney, London, and the Hardwick in Abergavenny, Wales. And it wasn't until earlier this week, Medieval Week being what it is currently in Lincoln, that I realised, well, I was informed that Welsh is actually a derivation of slave in the old English language, which is one of the reasons why they don't really like us using the term. Say they. I don't want to separate things after all.
Really? Yes. Well, so you can accuse someone of being, or you can excuse someone of being Welsh, which means you're calling them a slave.
Yes. Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah. Do the Welsh make good slaves?
These are the sort of questions that I missed, William, and that's the reason why it's a delight that you're back on the programme, really. You can maybe want to suggest that in Soho Radio as a sort of topic for conversation and debate.
Yes, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it would work.
It's a good hashtag. Do the Welsh make good slaves? Good hashtag. Tell me, are the people of Lincoln shutting down and deleting their Facebook accounts, or do you guys not care?
Oh, we care. But we do care. You care more than words can say in so many ways about the whole wonderful world of data protection.
Is this sarcasm?
But I see that the Times this morning is explaining how you can delete a Facebook account.
Hmm. As if people don't know how to do that.
You'd be surprised how many people
don't. It's harder than you think.
I go through phases. Yeah. I delete it, then I reactivate it, then I delete it, then I reactivate it.
Yeah, no, it's like an addiction. Yeah, we understand that. You see, there are clinics for this kind of thing.
There actually are.
If I was you, I'd take up a proper habit like cocaine or alcohol.
Or smoking.
Yeah.
As opposed to being hooked on Facebook or social media.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you cope with your own children, William? I mean, obviously you've got a tennis player, fantastic son. Does he every so often rush off court in the mid-set to actually just check up his number of likes?
2 seconds, just got to update my Facebook status.
Well, my kids use Snapchat, which I find quite clunky. And in fact, I was doing a talk at my daughter's school in Oxfordshire yesterday and about the media and doing little workshops with them. And distressingly, most of them got their news from Snapchat or from friends who had looked at Snapchat. So,
oh my goodness.
God help us. So my kids communicate on it. I don't communicate with them on Snapchat because I find it very tiresome and clunky. I also desist from seeing where they are the whole time, because I think it can drive you mad, because you can literally see if they're in a bus on the way to a match, you know, traveling down a motorway. They're both on Instagram, but they post very, very rarely, and I think they use it as a communication channel. But certainly, my son didn't have a phone until last summer, and he's 14, and so we did pretty well until then. But he does. The problem is, you know, once you give them these little sproglets phones, they look at them. But they're at schools where it's very much you hand your phone in. They don't carry it around with them, so that's a good thing.
That's
so
really good. Yeah. Mine,
I think that's very important, and I'm absolutely no phones at the table. I'm completely allergic to iPads. I think they should be banned. They're horrible things. But my kids are very sporty, so I'm lucky.
A phone-free zone.
It is. It's really sort of relieving to not have a phone. So from the age of about 19 to 22, I actually didn't have a phone. Much to, you know, the
shock
of my friends and stuff. They were like, how are we going to contact you? I was like,
Shaylee,
you know
what a strange person.
Yeah.
No phone.
I just thought, you know where I live. If you want to come and see me, just come and see me.
This may well be William because she was born in South Africa. I don't know.
Maybe. Who
knows? So did no one see you? Did you live isolated like a nun?
It was really bizarre. It was like, well, how am I going to contact you? Well, you know, when we were kids, we used to just bike round to each other's houses. Like, you know where I live. Oh. Just come and see me.
And did they come and see you?
They didn't, I'm afraid. Yeah. They were too busy on their phones.
That's terrible.
That's where the rot sets in. Although I have to say, William, even at this moment in time, I'm holding up my pad with probably the most awesome text I've sort of ever encountered, which I say, if you're interested in a historical aspect, it's called Eggs or Anarchy, : the remarkable story of the man tasked with the impossible to feed a nation at war by indeed Sitwell, William. 19.5 megabytes of sheer wonderment.
Wow.
Well, you've got it on the app.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I have it here.
Oh, well done.
In my library.
You're going to actually read it, or have you?
I have read it, William, as you're well aware.
No, I know that.
We've quoted from all sorts of things. If you say, have I read it on different platforms? Yes, I've done that too. You know, not just platform 1 and platform 19. I've read it on hard copy platform and the virtual platform.
Have you stood in the middle of your village high street and declaimed it to the masses?
I haven't, on
a Saturday afternoon.
I haven't done that as yet, William, but maybe we'll get on the case. It could be a possibility. In fact, we've got Countryside Links coming up in a couple of weeks' time, so that should be good from that point of view. I say, hey ye, a new man at the ministry, late afternoon, Thursday, 3rd of April, 1940. You want the rest by the book, Eggs or Anarchy? See what I did there? A bit of urban poetry.
I don't think
William's impressed, actually.
Roll up.
I worked for weeks on that particular sort of scenario, really.
He's not, yet.
Yeah, never mind.
No, I'm just listening.
Shaylee, any other questions you want to put to the awesome William Sitwell?
So what is your main job, William?
Oh.
Or was that the wrong question to ask?
I think it needed to be asked. I mean, you know, but
something my wife asked me. Yeah. She asked me the same thing. I suppose my main job is editing Waitrose Food Magazine and also launching magazines for other supermarkets around the world. We've done it in Boston, Dubai, Cape Town. We're looking at doing the same thing in Russia at the moment, which is interesting, especially if my visa was denied. My visa was denied 2 weeks ago.
Why is that, William? Do they not realise that you're regular on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition? Oh, that's not Ocean Harrow at all.
We'll move on from that. And then I write books and do a bit of TV and radio and write for magazines. And I host Britain's most epic supper club in my home in Northamptonshire. And this Friday, we've got Billy and Jack, who are MasterChef finalists. A couple of years back, so that happens once a month. So I'm a sort of part-time restaurateur and hotelier at home, and then I try and stay alive the rest of the time.
Nice. I feel like you've got your fingers in many pies, which I like. You're a jack of all trades.
I use the term Renaissance man personally.
Nice.
It's better. It's less messy, and you're not likely to actually have any sort of other things.
Yeah, when you say Renaissance man, it doesn't lead to master of none.
No, precisely, exactly so. That's the way we're sort of putting that together. And curiously
I spend most of my time pretending to people that I'm very busy on one of the other projects. Mm.
It's the way. It's the way to success.
I like it.
And I'm very good at. I'm very good at having siestas.
In fact, isn't it something called micro mastery or something, where you're a master of all sorts of different things?
You know, that is something that our other William, of course, who's just completed the Santiago pilgrimage, that would be William Coles from Edinburgh. He actually was indeed one of his colleagues is an expert in terms of micro mastery.
I think we spoke about it.
We did indeed. Actually, you can become an instant success. You don't need 10,000 hours to become an expert at anything. You can micro masterize the whole process. That's for another time, another tale. The other key interesting connection, which even William isn't aware of, that's William Sitwell, is that both Phil Learness and William Sitwell have actually changed their relationship status within the same six-month period. Spooky, spooky. Aww. Although Phil Learness is officially marrying Lily Holliman.
You nearly said Learness there.
I very nearly did, exactly.
And what is mine?
That's an excellent question, because I haven't had the invite. Oh, I won't get an invite, don't be silly. But is it this year, William? Are we setting that? I know the announcement was the engagement, or have you already had it? I'm very confused.
I got married in December.
Exactly. Exactly. I thought you'd already. Exactly. Yes, so that was the other reason we thought, well, give him time, honeymoon, to sort of set in before he's here. Have you had a reasonably interesting time back on the Madrid Drive morning edition, William Sitwell?
I think reasonable is probably the best way of describing it.
That's all right, then. So will you be kind enough to return in the very near future?
Yes, very nice to be back on your little show. Speak to people in your sweet little village.
I can't.
I don't know. Rhetorical question, George Harrison. What is life? What is life, Alan Stevens?
not going too well for George Harrison at the moment, is it?
Well, you say that, but of course, in heaven of M, given that he's probably having a chat at this moment with Stephen Hawking, Jim Bowen, and Ken Dodd, then all will be well. And let's not forget
that'd
Peter
be a Miles. Great conversation to be privy to.
Yeah, Peter Miles as well, chirping in with his time spent as the associate villain in a whole range of things, and indeed a member of Alan Stevens'
Is this a dream
world.
Of yours?
Probably fantasy, really.
Yeah.
One person's dream, another person's fantasy. How's life in the forest of Dean Alan Stevens?
Stephen Hawking was an atheist, wasn't he?
I think he was. He's not as pronounced an atheist as Lala Ward's former husband, Richard Dawkins, who's quite categorically stated his particular state of flow, which is why he might be in for a major surprise in a few years' time. But who knows?
Or not. Who knows?
Exactly.
That's the thing is, if you aren't, then how would you know, if you see what I'm saying? You know.
Wow.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
only a few years' time, you're planning something, Alex.
We're always planning things.
You're planning another assassination.
Whether they manifest, who knows? That's the key thing. All I can say is the Scarlets will weep in Moscow. So apart from that, let's move on. If that is a code word that gets me arrested by the CIA, it's been a great show, and let's sort of ensure that
I've really
well.
Enjoyed my life, but...
yeah, well, you know, sometimes you just need to progress it a couple of stages further. So what have you been getting up to, Alan? What are the things we haven't spoken about since you've obviously been looking after your dad and doing a whole range of things over in the Forest of Dean and so on, is where does CaldorCity.com sit with respect to new events, new packages, and what other delights can people bring to the fore, including, and I've heard this on very good authority, the possibility of another sequel to the Mechanical Planet audio.
Where did you hear that?
Very
odd, because...
Probably it was actually, I was talking to Darren Scales, and we were talking about the importance of audio dramas, etc. And I said, well, what about Alan Stevens? He's a really great
chap.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah. Let's do an audio version of the... all sorts
I
of
see,
things,
yes. Yes. Sorry, yeah. It's interesting when two things suddenly come together.
Yes.
You think, because there is something else which I was discussing quite in detail with the Vorp team
mm-hmm.
only yesterday, and I thought, my God, how did that? You know, what sort of secret agent has he employing, Alex? You know, this is some kind of telepath.
Yes,
but you were talking about something else. Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, the thing is that. After you did the Mechanical, a lot of people like doing or trying to do live action stuff.
Hmm.
And after you did the Mechanical Planet, Phil Stevens was talking about doing another Dalek story using building props and having a set and basically a bit like sort of a Thunderbird style thing, but with Daleks. And I really thought it was going to be immensely expensive and impossible to do. And then I saw Ian Scales' film, and I thought, oh, actually, that was very well done, and, considering the amount of money spent on it. So I spoke to Ian about it, and there was a kind of budget worked out. And I even wrote a script based on one of the TV, one of the TV21 Dalek comic strips. I can't remember what it was called now. It was what the original one was called. It was when the Mechanoids first encountered the Daleks in the comic strip, And so I wrote the script up, and everyone seemed to be quite keen on it. And nothing's happened since. So it's really the ball's really in Phil Stevens' court. I know at the moment he's building he's been commissioned and in the middle of building a Star Trek full size shuttlecraft from the original series. So he's probably going to reenact Galileo 7.
Technically Galileo 7. Galileo 7, as in Galileo Galilei, the famous astronomer who's excommunicated for daring to presume that the sun didn't revolve around the Earth.
It was Galileo, wasn't it?
It was Galileo. Galileo Galilei, as in the Queen song. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, can you do the Fandango?
Oh, were they Star Trek fans as well?
I believe so. Well, certainly Brian May, Dr. Brian May, of course, who's a wonderful astronomer as well.
Yeah, I found a dead badger a couple of days back. Report to the council.
Yeah, and likewise, I'm looking at a badger now that I believe is alive, but who knows? I mean, it's a siren radio mascot, so you never can tell, really.
Well, unfortunately, I can't look at my badger at the moment because my computer screen's gone funny. It switches on, it comes on for about a second, then goes off again, so I've had to order a new one. Should be arriving today, hopefully.
Well, that's good. That's important. So you're presumably not deleting all the Facebook posts then, Alan, because that was the concern that William Sitwell had, are we actually just going to be stepping away from cyberspace and stepping back into the real world where we can visit our friends by biking round to see them?
Nice. Thank you,
Alan. It's all conspiracy at the moment. I mean, I heard today that, is Putin the new Hitler of Europe? And I thought, well, if Putin's the new Hitler in Europe, then Boris Johnson is a new Ribbentrop of the Foreign Office.
He's a very sneaky Hitler, if he is.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. Everyone's Hitler, isn't it? You know, Putin's Hitler and Trump is Hitler and
Macron.
Everyone's Hitler's Hitler. I think Hitler worked. I think there's very insult to Hitler. Really. Hitler worked really, really hard to be that evil. And so I don't think
say his name, the less he makes any sense.
Second stringer should get on this thing, yeah.
Well, so it goes. And if you're part of Medieval Week this week, only a couple more days to grow as far as the University of Lincoln is concerned. You'll find out all about the medieval monsters and maps and things that were sort of taking place in that, including the Mappy Mundi of the world, which kind of predated the theory of everything by a good 700 years.
That's a very odd connection. Adolf Hitler and the Middle Ages, I suppose you could say there was a kind of reversion back to the Middle Ages.
Just look at the propaganda that was actually used to describe a particular group of people just on the basis of they were seen as being the other, the evils, the aliens, the Gog and Magog, who would effectively crucify the society and do all sorts of other areas. It happens, just to see.
I always found it really bizarre how he promoted this Aryan sort of state when he himself wasn't blonde and blue-eyed.
He was blue-eyed, wasn't he?
He might have had the blue eyes to a certain extent, but he certainly
he had dark hair. Yeah. But there was a kind of I suppose he saw himself as a facilitator of the blonde Nordic ideal.
Sort of midwife, really. Call the midwife. You get Adolf Hitler. That's going to be very bizarre.
The thing is, when they invaded Poland, they would actually take these kids and they have a chart with various gradings of blonde hair, and they'd say, okay, right, this person here, based on this chart and the color of his eyes, he is technically Polish, but in fact he's an Aryan, so he's okay, he's going back to Germany. And they would do this. It was very, very crude eugenics, if you think about it. You had to conform to a particular idea of beauty at that time. I think, if you look at 30s films or 20s films or whatever, the idea of beauty shifts, So, but there was a particular time in the 1930s when if you look at that film, Triumph of the Will, that the German Olympics.
Lene Riefenstahl.
Yeah, brilliant.
It's on YouTube. You can access the whole thing.
You can, yeah. I've seen it a number of times. Great film. But if you look at it, there's a kind of idea of, the physical beauty and the kind of particular classic, look of if you go back. It's all sort of derived from Rome as well, isn't it? Sort of recreation of this ideal. And in fact, I think the idea of the Aryans was based on some Roman script saying that these noble tribe lived in the German forests but then again, whether they exist or not, it was probably a propaganda piece to show Rome isn't as good as it used to be and we should aspire to these mythical people from Germany. But Himmler took it as being true. He also sort of believed he came from the moon, didn't he? Or the Aryans came from the moon. He had a lot of crackpot ideas.
And there we have Alan Stevens with his dissertation.
Very impressive knowledge on Nazi Germany.
Dissertation.
Oh, I know a lot about World War II.
Exactly, yes. He's not the ex-RAF, so it's there. It's in all sorts of ways. We still haven't really got around to talking about 40 years of Blake 7. We've obviously talked about 40 years of Star Trek. We've talked about 40 years of Star Wars, 40 years of Starburst magazine, and 40 years of Warhammer games, which was the thing that Chris Downs brought to us early in the production. Shaley, if I actually mentioned the world Blake 7, would you know of what I was speaking?
Unfortunately not. I feel like I should be aware of this.
I think so. I mean, for your geek credentials alone, I think you need to, between now and next week,
educate me, Alan Stevens.
Find out everything you can about Blake 7, without necessarily just seeking the oracle of wisdom and indeed co-author of Blake 7, The Unauthorized Guide, together with Fiona Moore, that would be Alan Stevens. I think we need to go beyond that particular stage. So, I mean, is that, would you think that's a useful challenge, Alan, that we set Shaylee that task of, in the next 168 hours between this week and next week, she can find out as much as she can about Blake 7, and then you could actually assess her, kind of keeping the sort of university thing going, you could assess her on how successfully and how succinctly she kind of sums up the whole series in 7 days from now.
If it involves her buying my book, yeah.
Oh,
nice.
Great idea.
Done. Yeah.
Best idea I've heard all day.
Yeah, well, there you go. So we'll just roll it out there, and hopefully Shaylee will rise to that challenge. Meanwhile, I gather the weather in the Forest of Dean is going to be tremendous today in Lincoln. A reminder, 11 degrees centigrade is the high, 6 degrees centigrade the low. A dry day with sunshine and a moderate westerly breeze, so spring has definitely sprung. We thank...
I heard there's going to be tremendous snow over Easter, isn't there?
Yeah, well, you know,
there's always snow.
I'm dreaming of a white Easter, just like the ones I used to know.
Well, I do remember that, actually. I remember back in 1970s,
Alan, I'm apologise for this, but there's a fire alarm that seems to have struck in the studio.
This
we
has
need
never
to vacate it.
Before.
It's going to be happy trails. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link?
Well, it was certainly eventful.
Fantastic. Will you be back next week?
Sure.
Excellent. Shaylee, we're out of here, quite literally.
See you
Take
later.
Care now.
Better put a record on.
Oh, I think so.